Today's daf is Nun Aleph. We're going to go back to the two dots on Nun Amabet. Actually, a little past the two dots, right? We will start from Tanan Hatam. Actually, four lines from the bottom. Okay, just before we start this, we'll just quickly do the Mishnah on Nun Amabet. Chavitei Kohen Gadol. We made reference to these chavitim. They're the special mincha that the Kohen Gadol brings every day. If you remember way back when, we learned that the Kohen Gadol has to be wealthy because he has to afford to bring this mincha offering every single day. And they would bring it. Okay, I'll just read you the psukim. It starts in Vayikra, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yubet. Or Yugimel will start from. Zeh Korban Aharon Ubanav, Asher Yakrivu LaHashem. Okay, this is the Korban of Aharon and his sons. We're going to talk about why it sounds like it's just for the Kohen Gadol, so why does it say Aharon and his sons? We're going to see later, they're going to darshan later on today's daf, that it's talking about actually Aharon, what he's supposed to bring, the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohanim had Yotim, what they're supposed to bring, because if you read the rest of the Pasuk, it says, Asher Yakrivu LaHashem B'yom Himashech Oto, on the day that they become anointed. So it's a little bit strange, because it's actually talking about the Mincha Kohen Gadol that he does every day, but it's also talking about that the Kohanim and Yotin had to bring a special korban, the regular Kohanim, had to bring a special korban on the day that they kind of got initiated into the work. Asirit ha'efa solet mincha tamid. Okay, notice the word tamid is mentioned. We're going to get back to this. Okay, tamid means always. So he has to bring, it's made from an asirit efa, from solet. Notice it. Okay, right now we haven't yet mentioned the shemen. We're going to get there. Machatzita baboker umachatzita baerev. So he would bring this isaron, and half of it he would bring in the morning, and half of it he would bring in the evening. Okay, we're going to learn all sorts of things from this. Al machavad bashemen teaseh. It's done in a shallow pan. The machavad we've learned about this, like a frying pan. With oil, it should be done. The word te'aseh, we're going to darshan all these words. Morbechet tiviena, tufini minchat ptitim. What is this tufini? Okay, so we're going to darshan that also. Takriv rech nichoach la'ashem. Okay, it should be sacrificed. Bakoen ha-mashiach tachtav mibanav ya'aseuta. Okay, now it says, again, it's going to be a pasuk we're going to darshan. The Kohen that comes in place of him from his sons, Yaaseh Ota, which sounds sort of like, well, when he's not the Kohen Gadol, his son's the Kohen Gadol, but there's no real point to tell us that, because then he's the Kohen Gadol, and then he needs to do it. So we're going to darshan this pasuk later. Chok Olam LaHashem Kalil Taktar. We're going to darshan all these words, okay? This is a law forever, or for Hashem. Kalil, entirely, it will be burned. V'chol Minchat Kohen Kalil Tiyeh Lo Te'achel. And any mincha that a Kohen brings, we've learned this before, is supposed to all be burnt. Remember the other day we talked about this? Kohanim tried to darshan it. They don't have to pay for the Trumat al-Lishka, because if they paid for it, everything would have to be burned and no menachot would ever be eaten, and they are eaten. So any mincha Kohen brings entirely goes up, should not be eaten. Okay, we're going to get back to all these things soon. So the Mishnah basically set up that the Chavitei Kohen Gadol, lo hayu ba'in chatzaim, ela, you wouldn't bring half of the morning and half of the afternoon, ela mevi isaron shalem, he would bring the whole batch of flour, mix it with the oil, v'chotzeu, and then he would split it. Okay, they would make actually 12 loaves, kind of like the lechem apanim. They would make this into 12 loaves. It's actually an interesting machloket. Okay, I'll tell you in a second. They would split it. Makriv mechza baboker umechza ben arbaim. In other words, it's not like he took half of it, brought half an isaron in the morning, made the batter, brought the mincha in the morning, then brought half the dough and made it. No. He would bring all the dough in the morning, make all the loaves, and then there's a machloket between the Rambam and the Ra'avid. Did he split each of the loaves in half? And then half of the 12 loaves, literally half, or, no, the rabbi says, what are you talking about? Of course, he took half the loaves and half the loaves. He didn't split each loaf in half and take take 12 half loaves, right? It doesn't make so much sense to do that, but that's what the Rambam claims. That's what he did. Okay, then the second halacha they talk about.
Did he actually fry it and then bake it?
What do you mean, when did he fry it and bake it?
The ingredients mix. He comes and he brings it, but when did he prepare it?
I think he prepares it all in the morning. And then, right? I would think.
Didn't he have to prepare it and then break it in half?
Yeah, he prepared it and then broke it in half once they were loaves. Okay? So exactly what we're going to discuss is when exactly he did. It doesn't say exactly. It didn't answer your question, but they're going to talk about the baking process. Okay, the first thing they darshan from this word, tufini, tafena na'eh, there was homachloket, do you fry it and then bake it or bake it and then fry it? Okay, that was at the very end of, that we're not going to get to. And the second thing the Mishnah talks about is if a kohen dies after he brings the first one, so then the second half, right, it's the second half isn't given by the next person, but actually the next kohen would bring a whole isaron, and then you would end up with two esronot get offered, and two esronot have to be left to, and then you leave them overnight, and then you burn them, okay? Half from the first guy and the half from the second.
Presuming that they actually have another one ready to go that afternoon, and they appoint another one that afternoon.
Ah, right. So then there's a debate. What happens? We're going to get to it today. What happens if they haven't appointed someone in the interim? Where does what happens with the mincha chavitim? We'll get to that also today.
They don't answer the question about why the replacement can't use the second half of the first guy's.
So they say that because it says, where did they darshan it? I think it wasn't today's daf. In the previous day's daf, it was... Because machatzita and umachatzita. So they say the two machatziyot, because there's a vav there, the vav connects them. Both halves have to be brought by the same person. I think that was how they darshaned it. Okay, so let's start at the bottom now. It says in the Mishnah there, the Mishnah is in, I actually didn't check where this is from. It's later on in Menachot. Chavitei kohen gadol lishatam va'arichatam va'afiyatam bifnim. Okay, the whole preparation of it, the kneading, the setting up the loaves, and the baking them, all happens inside, in the Azara. V'dochot et ha-Shabbat. And you do it even on Shabbat. Minan emile, how do we know this? Amrafuna tufini te'afenu na'e. Has to be baked nicely. V'afe lame etmol in shefala. And if you baked it yesterday, it wouldn't be so good today. Some people say, well, inshifa comes from nishifa, is blowing, that it would kind of be swollen, they say. Okay? Or you could come up with some other explanation. It would be,
stale.
Right, stale, it wouldn't taste good. Okay, why the same, miracle didn't happen to that, the hagam zil lechem apanim, but okay. So now, matkifla Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, what do you mean? The whole reason why you can do this on Shabbat is because if you baked it before, it would taste bad. It wouldn't be good. It wouldn't be fresh. Ema, and here you have to understand the way they did things. I have a trouble understanding this exactly, but dekavish le biyarka. Can't you put some vegetables on it and that will keep it fresh? I guess, right, they all had methods that we don't need to know of, thank God, because we have refrigerators and freezers and ways to keep bread fresh. But they used to put kind of vegetables on it, and that would keep, I guess, the moisture in, keep it from drying out. I'm not sure exactly, but he says you could actually, right, leave something, right. You could put something on it. What, you've used done?
When I was growing up, if my mom would send a piece of cheese to lunch, she'd always wrap it in a lettuce leaf.
Oh, okay. Lettuce kept it. Just seems to me the lettuce would make the bread soggy, right? Okay.
Well, if you're worried about it getting dry and stale, that...
Right, that helps. Okay. So that can't be the reason. So, Debe Rabbi Yishmael Tana, Te'aseh va'afilu b'Shabbat. Te'aseh va'afilu b'Tumah. Remember it said, Al machvat b'Shemen te'aseh. Okay, te'aseh means, it just could say, Al machvat b'Shemen. It didn't have to say, you shall make it. It would have been understood. So they say the te'aseh means even b'Shabbat. The te'aseh means even b'Tumah. Abai Amar Amakra, Rabbi says here, I'll bring you a different pasuk. Solet mincha tamid. It said the word tamid. Tamid always reminds us of the korban tamid that we bring every day, even on Shabbat. Harei ki mincha tamidin, that even on Shabbat, it's performed. Rav Amar al machvat, a different reason. He says, we're going to have three reasons, okay? Four. The first is rejected, that it was because it won't be fresh. They said, no. Then the second one was te'aseh, afilu b'Shabbat. The third one was solo mincha tamid, it's like the korban tamid. And the fourth one is Rava, who says, al machvat melamed she'tu'una kli. The fact that it's done in machvat, what's a machvat? It's a kli. A kli in the Beit HaMikdash was always a sanctified kli. Now, it was baked, when it was baked in the kli, or fried and then baked, it became sanctified at that point. Now, what happens if you did the baking before Shabbat, because you can't do it on Shabbat, then what would happen? If you put it in the kli, it becomes kadosh. What happens overnight? psul of lina. You can't ever leave anything that was in a clay kodesh to the next day. So that's why. And if you baked it yesterday in the clean, it became sanctified. Okay, it'll basically be disqualified from being left overnight. So therefore, you have to do it on Shabbat. So now we're going to bring a braita. Tanya kavate de Rav. Here's a braita that supports Rav's explanation. Al machvat milamech tuna kli. Okay, there's our proof of forever already. And because it says al machvat, that means it needs a kli. And once it needs a kli from there, then we can derive what Rav said about Shabbat. Now, since we quoted this braita, we're going to get all off on this tangent of the second part of this braita. Bishemen. Okay, remember that pasuk. So I'll remind you. The pasuk reads like this: al machvat bashemen. You put it in this pan with oil, te'aseh. It should be made with oil. Now, most of the menachot were made with oil, except for there were a few exceptions. Remember, the menchat chote doesn't have oil. There were a few exceptions, but most of them have oil. So now they're going to say, because most of the menachot have oil, the assumption was, of course it's going to have oil. So why did it have to tell us bashemen? Bashemen means lehosif lashemen. It must be that they gave more shemen than the average. Now, what was the typical? A log of shemen. We've seen this before. A log per isaron. Every time you had an isaron, generally you would add a log, except for a few exceptions. So now the question is going to be, the braita continues and says, ve'eini yodea kama. But it's true that we're supposed to add shemen, but I don't know how many, right? What are the possibilities going to be? If not one log, maybe two logs or three logs. So, hareini dan. Ne'amar, so here I'm going to make a logical inference. Ne'amar kan shemen, v'ne'amar lahalam b'minchat nesachim shemen. What's the minchat nesachim? That's the mincha that goes along with a regular animal sacrifice. Remember we said there's minachot that come by themselves, and then there's minachot that are brought with an animal korban. So we're going to learn it from the minchat nesachim shemen. Ma lahalan shloshet login li'isaron, afkan shloshet login li'isaron. Okay, so a typical minchat nesachim, which we're going to see, there's a differentiation between some of them, but the classic one is the korban tamid. And for the korban tamid, it was a keves, and for a keves, it would be three log per isaron. Okay, how do we know that? We say this in our tefillah all the time. Okay, isaron la keves, ha'echad, right? And then they would bring a rivi'it tahin. Revi'it ahin, ahin was 12 logs, so revi'it is going to be 3. So the keves, you always brought one isaron, and with the revi'it ahin of shemen, that would be 3 log per isaron. So we should learn it from there, he says. But now the braita continues. Oh, kalech l'derech zo. Or maybe, if we're going to learn shemen, oh, it says shemen there by the minchat of the korban tamid, maybe we should also learn it from a different place where it says shemen. O kalech l'derech zo. Ne'amar kan shemen, v'ne'amar b'minchat nedava shemen. Maybe we should learn it from a voluntary mincha. This is when you decide, well, I want to bring a mincha on my own, I'm not chayav, just want to bring it, right? There's a bunch of differences between this and a minchat nesachim. That's the one that we talked about a minute ago was for the korban tamid. It was a communal offering. It was everybody brought it. You had to bring it, right? It was communal. It was obligatory. This is individual. It's just if you want to, voluntary. There it says shemen. And what's the ratio there? Ma lahalan log echad. There it's one log per isaron. Afkan log echad. And what's the problem here? This is like in many of the things in Tzvachim that we were learning, where it didn't tell us the exact details of everything. It tells us some of the menachot, all the measurements, but for some of them it doesn't tell us anything. Here we have no idea. We know you're supposed to bring shemen. So now, there's a bit of a problem with this braita, which we're going to get back to, which is the braita started off and said, it says shemen. Shemen means, because it says bashemen, it must mean they're telling you need additional shemen, because otherwise, it's obvious that we need shemen, even though maybe you would say, maybe it's not obvious, because there were some menachot that didn't need shemen. But since the average mincha needs shemen, it must need shemen, therefore bashemen must be more than typical. More than typical is going to be more than a log. And then it goes to say, well, either it's 3 or it's 1. Well, 1 doesn't make any sense, because a minute ago we just said, obviously, bashemen means more than normal, and I just don't know how much more than normal. So there's a bit of a problem here with the braita, and we're going to eventually come up with 3 different explanations of the braita to make sense, okay? But in the meantime, we're going to read through the whole braita as is, even though we have a bit of a problem with it. So now we have 2 options. Either we're going to learn it from minchat nesachim, that goes with the korban tamid, or we're going to learn it from minchat nedava. So now they're going to say, Nir elamidome. Let's figure out which is it more similar to. So, danim tavshat mi tavshat. Okay, tavshat is rashei tevo for four things. Taf bet shin tet. Okay, taf is tadir. Okay, one that's commonly done every day. Which one is that? This is the minchat chavitin the kohen brings every, the kohen gadol brings every day, and so is the minchat tamid, as opposed to the minchat nedava. Next one, ba'achova, it's obligatory, as opposed to, right, this is the bet, is ba'achova. It's a little, right, you would think it would be more chet, because chova is the key word, as opposed to ba'achova. You can see there's some girsa issues here. But anyway, let's just assume it means ba'achova, meaning it's obligatory, versus the minchat nedava, which is voluntary. Both the tamid and the minchat chavitin are obligatory. Doheh Shabbat, that's the shin, Shabbat. It can be done even on Shabbat, like the Korban Tamid, whereas you want to bring a minchat nedava, you're a voluntary, you can't bring that on Shabbat. And doheh tumah, because tumah hutr b'tzibur. Remember, if everyone's tameh, or all the stuff is tameh, you can do it anyway. But you obviously can't do that for minchat nedava, because only b'tzibur, this was mutar. And therefore, the minchat chavitin is similar in these four ways. Ve'ein danim tavshat misha'eino tavshat, and we can't learn something that doesn't have, that has these four things, from something that doesn't have these four things. Oh, it continues though, it's not so clear cut. Okalech l'derech zo, or maybe we should go the other way. Danim yagil mi yagil, or yagil mi yagil. Okay, what are these four things? Okay, actually, you see the yain is in parentheses. Let's read it without the yain. Okay, yagil mi yagil. Yud is yachid. Okay, these are, the mincha chavitin is brought by a kohen gadol. He's a yachid, as opposed to the tamid, which is brought for the tzibur. And the mincha nedava is brought by an individual. So that's the yud. The gimel is biglal atzma. Okay, a little creative here with the biglal. Okay, the gimel of biglal. Biglal atzma. It's brought for its own sake, rather than the minchat nesachim, which is brought on account of the animal. Right? Only because you're bringing the animal sacrifice, you bring this mincha. It's like an added accessory to it. But these two, the minchat chavitin is brought on its own, and so is the minchat nedava. And livona. Okay, it needs... You bring frankincense with it, which you bring, again, for the minchat nedava and the minchat chavitin, and you don't do that for the minchat nesachim. Vein danim yagel misheino yagel. Okay, so we're left without an answer right now, okay, because we could go this way, we could go that way. Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka Omer, solet minchat tamid. Now, we tried to come up with logical inferences, so now he's going to say, no, we're going to learn it from this pasuk. So the minchat tamid, harehu lecha keminchat tamidin. We're basically going to learn it since it says tamid. We're going to learn that from the korban tamid. Ma minchat tamidim shlosha login lisaron, afzo shlosha login lisaron. Okay, just like the minchat tamidin is three, therefore this is going to be three, and therefore according to Rabbi Yishmael ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, we learn it out from the word tamid, and that's how we get to it basically. And therefore we're going to learn it's three log. Okay, second answer. Rabbi Shimon Omer, riba kan shemen, riba meminchat kvasim shemen. Now he's going to again have a whole mahalach of, well, maybe this, maybe that. So he says, let's learn it from a mincha that goes with a keves. Ma lahalan. Okay, so now this goes back to, okay, we say it in our tefillah, shloshas ronim lapar, ushnes ronim la'ayil, visaron lakeves. We say this all the time, we never really think about it. Okay, this comes up in, right, in Musaf all the time. So, let's just go through the measurements before we read everything inside. Shlosha asronim lapar. Okay, it doesn't say there how much oil. They would bring a chatzi hin. Chatzi hin is six log. So what's the ratio? Two log per isaron, because it's three asronot and six logim. The ayil is two asronim, and it's shlishit hahin, which is four log. So again, it's the same two ratio. Okay, two to one. Okay, we have two log for every isaron of solet. Whereas the keves is isaron echad, and it's the rivi'itahin, it's the keves we saw before for the tamid, it's also the keves of any sacrifice that needs nisachim. This is the ratio. If it's a keves, it's three log per isaron. So it's 3 to 1 rather than 2 to 1. So now he says like this. So now we want to know, riba kan shemen, riba mimcha kvasim shemen, ma lahalan shloshet lugin lisaron, af kan shloshet lugin lisaron. So maybe we should learn it from the minchat kvasim, which has shemen. O kalech l'derech zo, or maybe we should say, riba kan shemen, riba mimcha parim ve'elim shemen. Also, by the Parim and Elim, it talks about how much, it talks about you have to bring shemen. It talks about exactly the measurement of shemen. And there it says the word shemen. Here it says shemen. Malalan shnei lugin li sahon. Afkan shnei lugin li sahon. So he basically sets up, right now, let's just compare. The first mahalach of the Braita set it up. Is it 3 to 1 or is it 1 log per isaron? Which we said didn't really make so much sense because we started off with shemen and we said shemen must mean, bashemen must mean extra shemen, more than usual, and that gives one option that's not. This mahalach basically sets up it's either 3 or it's 2, okay? And then which one is it? So again, we're going to say in your elamidome, let's figure out which one it's more similar to. Danim mincha haba isaron, mi mincha haba bisaron. Ve'in danim mincha haba misaron, mi mincha haba bishnayim v'shlosha esronim. Okay, so he says it makes much more sense to compare it to the keves, because the keves was brought with 1 isaron of solet, of the flour, and also the minchat chavitin of the Kohen Gadol was brought with 1 isaron. So if we're going to try to learn it from one of the cases, we may as well learn it from the one that it's the most similar to. And therefore, so if you notice, they both come to the same conclusion. It's 3 log per isaron. It's just Rabbi Yishmael ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka learned it from the Tamid. Therefore, we're going to learn it from the Keves, which goes with the Korban Tamid, the Minchat Pasim. And the second opinion, Rabbi Shimon learns it because he says it's either 2 or 3. Either we're going to learn from the Parim and Elim or the Pasim. And since it's more similar to the Pasim with the Isaron, therefore, we're going to say it's got the same amount of Shemen as the Isaron. So again, they don't disagree about the conclusion. They disagree about how to get there. So the Gemara now says, Ha gufa kashya, brings up the question I mentioned before, which is, this in and of itself doesn't make any sense, this braita, because amarta bashemen lohosif lashemen, it says, bashemen must be to add more shemen. Vahatar tane, ne'amar kan shemen, v'ne'amar b'mechane davash shemen, which was to then conclude that maybe it's only 1 log, which isn't adding any more shemen. So we're now going to have 3 different ways of reading this braita, okay? So if you noticed, I also want to just point out, the Braita started off anonymous. It wasn't in anyone's name. When it finished that first mahalach and got nowhere, because they basically were left with a question, and it's not so clear, we could say, because tafshat mi tafshat, or yagil mi yagil, and it could go either way. Then they brought in Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, with his answer of the Tamid. And then we brought in Rabbi Shimon with his question and then answer, and saying we're going to learn it from the Kvasim because it's like the Mechat Kvasim that only has 1 Yisaron. So now they're going to try to figure out who's the author of the beginning part, and maybe there's even, okay, we're going to have 3 options. Either the beginning part starts off with 1 opinion and moves to the 2nd opinion, and that you can't say Hagufa Kasha because maybe the one who said Bashemen wasn't the one who suggested that it's like the Mechat Nedava. Then they're going to say, oh no, maybe the whole thing is only one of them, and or maybe the only whole thing is only the other opinion. So we're going to have 3 ways of reading this braita. So the first way is going to be, like I said, 2 of them. Amar Abaye, man tana bashemen lehosif, Rabbi Shimon, the one who said bashemen is to add, is all Rabbi Shimon. Ubedina, one second, I have to read, okay, there's a different gersaot here. Rabbi Yishmael, Ve'ilu lo ne'amar, ka'amar, Ubedina, one second. How do we read this? Right, and I think it's Ubedina, in other words, and then he made, you know, this logical inference. And then, one second, let me just double check how to read this. Ubedin man kamahader, in other words, and then who responded back to him with a logical argument? He said, oh, Shemen must be lohosif. Comes Rabbi Yishmael, Benosha Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, okay, Ubedina man kamahader, he starts to come back with logic. Maybe it's not to add. Understand? They started off, he said, oh, Shemen is to add. And then even though you don't see this conversation going on in the Braita, they're saying it's a conversation. Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka came back and said, who's to say that Bashemen means to add? Maybe Bashemen is to compare it to the Minchat Nedava, where it was only 1 log per Isaron. And that's how to read it. So that's how he reads this. It's 2 different people, and therefore it's not an inner contradiction. It wasn't so obvious to Rabbi Shmuel that Bashemen means to add, and that's why he suggested maybe it's only 1 Isaron. Now, why did they assume Rabbi Shimon's the one who said it's to add? Because in the end, what does Rabbi Shimon suggest? 2 or 3. And because Rabbi Shimon suggests two or three, we assume Rabbi Shimon definitely thought it was to add. And that's why he starts off with adding. Rabbi Yishmael, who ends up learning it from the Korban Tamid and from a different place, kind of suggested, maybe we can learn it logically, and maybe it should go this way or that way, and maybe it isn't to add any extra, maybe it's just got the regular amount of shemen. And in the end concludes, no, it's three, but at least he thought that maybe you could. Second answer. Rav Huna Breid Rabbi Yoshua Amar, Kula Rabbi Yishmael ben Asher Rabbi Yochanan ben Broki. The whole thing is all Rabbi Yishmael ben Asher ben Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, obviously until you get to Rabbi Shimon, but the beginning part is all him. V'hachi ka'amar. This is what he says. Bashemen lohosif lashemen. Okay, bashemen means to add, meaning more than usual. Di'i likba shemen, if you wanted to just say you needed shemen, lo tzarich. You wouldn't need that. Why don't you need it? And this is now what we're going to get to, why it was so obvious to them that bashemen is to add, and you wouldn't need it. Kevan dechtiv ba'al machvat, since it starts off with saying you do this on a machvat, kimin chat machvat damya. It must be just like a minchat machvat, and a minchat machvat is done with shemen. So therefore, bashemen is extra and you don't need it. Eino ela likbo la shemen. Or, then he suggests, maybe you really don't need it to tell you. Maybe you need it to tell you that it needs oil. Maybe, what they're basically saying is, we didn't read the braita properly in the beginning. Really what the braita is saying is, bashemen is lohosif, but maybe it's not. Maybe you really need bashemen just to tell you it needs oil, but not to tell you it needs extra oil. So now, di'i likbo ha-shemen lo tzari, one second, o eno ela likbo ha-shemen, di'i lo kata brachmana bashemen, if you didn't write bashemen, what would you have thought? Hava amina tehave kiminchat chote. You might have thought maybe it's similar to the minchat chote that doesn't have shemen at all. And that since there are minachot that don't have shemen, it needed to tell you shemen just for that. So what they're setting up here is the beginning question is shemen, bashemen, to add, or is it just to tell you you need shemen and not extra? Hadar amar, and then he continues to say, tehave nami likbo ala shemen. If you want to say it's likbo ala shemen, if you want to say that it's to add, that it needs shemen, titi midina. Vidandina velo atele. In other words, then he goes back through and says, do we learn it from here or do we learn it from there? And in the end, doesn't come to any conclusion. And in the end, itrachakra, sola mincha tamid. And then he needed the pasuk to prove it because he couldn't come up with any logical answers, right? So in the end, he needed the pasuk. Kidimasayim rabbi Yeshua milta. Okay, just the way, in other words, basically what we're saying is, instead of Rabbi Shmuel coming in the middle of the Braita, the whole thing was a discussion Rabbi Shmuel was having about, is Bashemen to add extra, or is Bashemen just telling you, you need Shemen in it? In which case, he's going to say, right, do we say we learn it from the Minchat Tamid, where it had three log, or do we learn it from a regular Minchat Nedavah, which had one log? And then he goes back and forth, tries to figure out, brings a limud here, writes Tavshat, or Yagel, and in the end can't come to a conclusion, so he brings a pasuk. Okay, so instead of Rabbi Shmuel just appearing with the pasuk, we're saying he appeared from the very beginning. And now we're going to get to the third option. Rabba Amar, Kula Rabbi Shimon. Okay, now we're going to read it the third way. Not that it was a conversation between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shmuel, not that it was just Rabbi Yishmael. Now it's all Rabbi Shimon. See their creativity here of how they could take this one source and read it in so many different manners. V'ilu lo ne'emar kamar. It's written in an if it hadn't have said it structure. Okay, we'll see what this means. V'hachi kamar. This is what he says. Bashemen lohosif lashemen. It must be bashemen, right, to add, saying you need more shemen. Di'i likbo lashemen lo tzarich. Because if it's to tell you that it needs shemen, you don't need that. Kevan dekatu ba'al machvat ki machvat amya. Right, since it said al machvat, it must be like a machvat. Va'ad shelo yamer bashemen yeshli badin. And if, right, so one second, ad shelo yamer bashemen, and if, right, even if it hadn't said bashemen, now he's going to go like this, even if it hadn't said the word bashemen, then yeshli badin, I could teach it to you logically. In other words, now he's saying, starts off, bashemen means you have to add shemen. If I didn't have the word bashemen to add shemen, I still could have proven that you need extra shemen because vidandina, right? Vidandina, I could prove it because he's going to say, you're going to either learn it from the Tamid or you're going to learn it from the Chat Nedava. And it's either going to be three or it's going to be one, but I'll prove to you it's going to be three because of Tavshat. But then in the end, it doesn't really work for him because he gets stuck, because then you could say Yagel and not Tavshat, right? It's more similar than Nedava in those ways, even though it's more similar to that in those ways. And doesn't work for him. Be'itzricha b'shemen. In the end, what does he need? He needs the pasuk of b'shemen to teach you that it needs extra shemen. Okay? So according to him, it's not that he doesn't think, he didn't ever really think it needed just one log, but he was trying to prove to you logically, he was kind of suggesting something he knew he was going to reject to try to show you his, you know, his logic here, which actually failed. So then he needs the pasuk shemen, the Hadar Amar, and then he continues to go on. Again, you have to get back to the Rabbi Shimon eventually. What they're saying is Rabbi Shimon said, maybe it's three or maybe it's one, even though he really didn't think it was one because he was going to prove to you, how do you know it's three over one? But then when he finishes that, and he doesn't really conclude there because he could go either way, then he raises another question, which is, well, it could be... Then he says, well, then you need Bashemen to teach you it's got to be extra. So we knock out Minchat Nedava. But then he says, well, then still it could be two or three. Remember, that's his other, the continuation of him. So, Hadar Amar to have a kimchat parim ve'elim. Right? So then he says, maybe it's like parim and elim, and it's actually two and not three. Hadar Amar, and then he continues to go, danim mincha haba yisaron v'chule. And then he finally concludes, the first section he concluded, bashem, it means you have to add more. But then it wasn't clear, more is two or more is three. And then he concludes it's three because we're going to learn it from another mincha that comes with an Yisaron. Okay, and that's the way we read it. So we have three different ways to read what the back and forth of this Braita is. Okay, new Mishnah. Here's where we get to what you mentioned before. Lo minu kohen acher tachtav, mishalmi haitach reva. If you didn't appoint a new kohen gadol in the interim, the kohen gadol dies, he brings his half Yisaron in the morning, his six loaves, his 12 half loaves. He brings that in the morning, and he dies, and he doesn't get to bring a second set. So, and there's no new kohen gadol in its place. So, what do we do? Mishalmi haitach reva. It's obvious to them that we bring it. The question is, who pays for it? Okay, this is obviously a big deal about paying for this, right? And as we talked about, like I said, the kohen gadol had to be rich because he had to afford this every day. Now, where are we taking it from? Rabbi Shimon Omer Mishal Tzibur. We take it from the Trumah Lishka, the money that was collected from the communal funds. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishal Yorshim. Okay, he says, no, it's from the Yorshim. Okay? His heirs, thank you. His heirs had to bring it. Ushle mahaitakreva. And they would actually bring the entire thing. Okay? And not just half of it.
The entire thing wasn't available anymore.
No, you had to bring a new one. They had to bring a new one, and it was.
They already discussed that in the last Mishnah, so why are they saying it again?
No, the last Mishnah they discussed that the new Kohen had to do it, and he would only bring half. But if
he would bring a whole one
and then only burn half. Here, I think it means that they would bring. They would bring the entire thing. Right. They would bring the entire thing whole, it sounds
it's
like.
If they didn't appoint another coin.
Right, that's what I said. This is in the event that we don't have another coin. That's the difference between this mission and the previous mission. Previous mission, there was a new coin, so then he only brings half. But here, what?
Who does it if he doesn't do it?
Who takes care of it? People in the Mikdash, right. I don't know.
They're
more concerned with the money aspect, where it's coming from, who's bringing the soul, not so much who's actually sacrificing it.
The coin leaves the air. Always leaves the area, so he could have died outside. Otherwise, there would be problems.
Oh, problems of tumah and stuff, right? That's true. Oh. Okay, Tana Rabbanan. So now they're going to quote a brayta. Kohen gadol shemet velo minu kohen acher tachtav minayin shetehe minchato kreva mishal yorshim. So here it's obvious that the yorshim have to do it. The question is, where do they get this from? So I told you we're going to darshan all this psukim we read before. Talmud lomar ba kohen hamashiach tachtav mi banav yaase oto. So how do they read this pasuk? Let's read it a little, the reverse. The Kohen HaMashiach who dies, tachtav mi banav, and there's no one in his place yet, mi banav yaseh oto. It comes from his sons, okay? From his sons is going to come the money to pay for it. Yachol yakrivenu chatzain. You might have thought, so he only brings half. Talmud lamar, ota, kula velo chetzia. It says, mi banav yaseh ota. It sounds like he has to bring the whole thing. Even if it's only in the afternoon. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. This is all Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chok Olam, Mishel Olam. Here comes Rabbi Shimon. Where does he get it from, this Mishel Tzibur? Because it says at the end of that Pasuk, Chok Olam. Chok Olam means, okay, Chok Olam generally we understand, Pshat means it's a law forever. He darshens it, it's a chok that belongs to everybody, meaning they have to be responsible for it. Kalil Tiktar, that it has to be burned entirely, Shetei Kula Baktara, right? That's where he learns that the whole thing has to be burned. So Rabbi Yehuda learns the whole thing has to be burned from Ota, you have to bring the whole thing, and he learns it from Kalil Toktar. Later we're going to say, why doesn't each one learn it from the other? Bahaya Kohen HaMashiach, Lahach Yehuda'ata? So now they question this first drasha of Rabbi Yehuda. He gets it from a Kohen HaMashiach Tachtam Mibanav Yaseh, that his sons have to do it, right? It comes from the Yorshin. But now they say, that pasuk we need for something else. HaKohen HaMashiach comes for that? No. Hai Mibayle, we need it for some other drasha. L'chidetanya, Ze Korban Aharon Ubanav Asher Yakrivu LaHashem B'yomi Mashech Oto. Remember I quoted this pasuk and I said it's a bit of a strange pasuk. Here we're going to see how they darshan it. Yachol Yehu Aharon Ubanav Makrivim Korban Echad. Maybe they all have to bring the same Korban. Talmud Lamar Asher Yakrivu LaHashem. Aharon Bifnei Atzmo Ubanav Bifnei Atzman. Banav Elu Kohen Hedyotot. Okay, Banav means a regular Kohen. And this is what they're saying is Aharon has to bring his own and his sons have to bring their own. And his sons have to bring their own, not on a daily basis. They have to bring their own b'yom himashech oto, right? On the day that they become anointed to be kohanim. Ata omer kohanim edyotot. O eno ela kohanim gedolim. How do you know? Maybe it's all kohanim gedolim. Kishu omer ba'kohen ha-mashiach tachtav mi-banav harei kohen gadol amor. Ha-mani makayem banav. Elu Kohanim Hedyotot. So now they say, when it says HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtav MiBanav, that pasuk is saying the Kohen HaGadol who comes in place of Aaron, meaning Aaron and his sons could be Kohanim Gedolim who take his place. His sons could also be regular Kohanim. So since it says HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtav MiBanav, that teaches you there we're talking about the Kohen Gadol. But when the son of the Kohen Gadol, it becomes the Kohen Gadol. But when it says in the other pasuk about Aharon UBanav, right, where it says, Zek Korban Aharon Ubanav, there we're talking about Kohanim Hedyotot. So what is the proof here? That we need the words, HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtami Banav, is to teach you that we're talking specifically about Kohanim Gedolim, that there's two things going on here. There's the mincha that the Kohen Gadol has to bring, and there's a mincha that regular Kohanim have to bring on the day they become anointed. And it's the same mincha, basically. It's just different, right? One is a one-time, and one is a daily thing, twice a day. Okay, so therefore, where are we back to? How can we learn, HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtami Banav, is to tell you that if the Kohen Gadol dies and there's no one in his place, the Banav have to pay the money for the Mincha in the meantime. So, we're now going to say, Imken, we're going to do one of those, the Pasuk could have said this, and since it said it that way, we're going to learn two things from it. Lichtov Kra, HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtav Banav Yaseh. Okay, if you wanted it just to say that, you could have said, HaKohen HaMashiach Tachtav, his sons will do it. My mi banav, shma minatarte. Mi banav, okay, if you want to just talk about the sons of the Kohen, and they have to, meaning all Kohenim edyotot, you would have said banav. Mi banav means from one of the sons. From one of the sons means, well, we have to take the money, right, from one of them, okay? In other words, it shows it's only from some of them, and we're going to learn two things from. Okay, now we're going to go back to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, now we're going to do the ping pong. So Rabbi Yehuda said, from the word ota, what do we learn? Kula v'lo chetzia. So Rabbi Shimon, hai ota mai avidle, what does he do with the word ota? Mibayle lekohen gadol shemet, uminu acher tachtav, shelo yavi chatzi yisaron mibeto, v'lo chatzi yisaron shel rishon. Okay, it's to teach you that if Kohen Gadol dies and they bring someone else, he can't bring half an Isaron from his house, and he can't bring the half the Isaron from the other Kohen. Okay, so from the word Ota, it means if he dies and someone else comes in their place, right, the new Kohen Gadol, that he has to bring his own Ota, he has to bring a whole one. Okay? Vitepukle mean umachatzita. Why don't we learn it like we learned in the previous staff that umachatzita, meaning someone has to bring an entire thing. Vav lo darish. He doesn't darshan the vav. He doesn't think the vav is a serious thing. V'Rabbi Yehuda, hai chok olam mayavid leh. So what does he do with chok olam? Remember, Rabbi Shimon said chok olam means it comes from the tzibur money. Chuka la'olam tehe. He means that this law applies forever, like we thought the pshat was. Kalil toktar lamali. What does he do with kalil toktar? That Rabbi Shimon darshan there that the whole thing has to be burned. Lamali mebay lechidatanya. He needed it for this drasha. Ainli ela el yona minchat kohen gadol bekalil tiktar. V'tachtona minchat. Ainli ela el yona. Right, chavitin, right, Rashi says El Yonah is the chavitin, because it says first in the Pasuk the chavitin. Remember, it says two things, the minchat kohen edyo b'yomi mashechoto, and the minchat kohen gadol, the minchat chavitin. So, kalil toktar, they're going to look darshan like this. Ainli ela El Yonah has to be fully burned. Minchat kohen b'kalil toktar, that has to be entirely burned. V'tachtona, minchat kohen edyot b'lo tochal. Okay, so now, if you remember, the last, I'll read these psukim again. We said like this, the Kohen HaMashiach tachsav b'banav yaseh otachok olam l'Hashem kalil toktar. This sounds like they're saying, the Kohen Gadol's mincha chavitin has to be entirely burned. The next pasuk says, v'chol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh, and every minchat kohen has to be in its entirety. We don't yet know what this means. We assume we know this means it's supposed to be burned. But it doesn't say the word burn here. It just says kalil tiyeh, which means entirely. It doesn't say entirely what. Lo te'achel. It says it cannot be eaten. So you know there's a lo taseh that can't be eaten. And in the Minchat Kohen Gadol, it says kalil toktar, it has to be entirely burnt. But there's no lo taseh there. And in the Kohen Hedyot, it doesn't say it has to be burned. It just says entirely. So we're now going to say, how do you know we learn from one to the other? That there's a lo taseh to eat the Kohen Gadol's chavitin, and you have to burn the Minchat Kohen Hedyot. So they now say, so minay v'tachtonam echad kohen edyo b'lo tochal minay liten et ha'mor shel zeh v'zeh v'et ha'mor shel zeh v'zeh. How do you know there's a lo taseh for the kohen gadol and kalil toktar? It has to be entirely burned for the kohen edyot. Talmud lamar kalil kalil gzera shava. The word kalil appears in both. We're going to make gzera shava and say what's true for one is true for the other. Ne'amar kan kalil v'ne'amar lahalan kalil v'lahalan makan kalil tiktar. Af lahalam b'kalil tiktar. Just like the Kohen Gadol has to be entirely burnt, also the Kohen Edyot has to be entirely burnt. Uma lahalam litain lo taseh l'chilato. Since there's a mitzvah lo, there's an averat lo taseh on eating it. Af kan, also by the Kohen Gadol, litain lo taseh l'chilato. Now we're going to have another question on Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that it's Mishel Tzibur. V'sever Rabbi Shimon Mishel Tzibur de'oraita. Rabbi Shimon said, we get it, the Shel Tzibur, where does he learn it from? Chok Olam. Chok Olam, it has to come from the community. If you're learning it from the Pasuk, it means it's Halacha D'Oraita. But we're going to have a problem with saying it's Halacha D'Oraita, that it comes from the Tzibur. The Hatznan, Amar Rabbi Shimon, doesn't it say in a Bright, in a Mishnah, the Rabbi Shimon says, Shiv'ad Dvarim Hitkinu Beit Din, V'zeh Echad Mehen. There were seven things the Beit Din decided, and this is one of them on the list. Which means that it was a Beit Din thing, even according to Rabbi Shimon, and it's not De'oraita. So how could he say it comes from the Pasuk? Now we're going to go through all the things, or some of the things that the Beit Din was metkin. Ovei kochavim sheshalach olato mi medinat hayam. Shalach, okay, so an ovei kochavim sends a korban from medinat hayam, but he didn't send nisachim. Okay, now all korbanot that were brought have to come with the nisachim, right, the mincha and the wine. So, shalach iman nesachim, if he sent the nesachim, kreva mishelo, then we take his nesachim and we use them. V'im lav, but if he didn't, then where do we get the money to pay for the nesachim? Krevin mishel tzibur. Okay, then we take communal funds to pay, which is an interesting thing, that if a non-Jew brings a korban and it's not done properly, the Beit Din said we have to, since it's supposed to be done properly, we have to bring the nesachim from the tzibur. V'chein ger shemet, same thing with a ger who dies, a convert dies. V'inech zvachim, and he left sacrifices to be done, brought. Yesh lo nisachim, if he has money for nisachim, krevim mishelo, then we bring it from his. V'imla, but if he didn't set aside the nisachim before he died, krevim mishel tzibur, the tzibur comes up with the money. And here comes our case. U'tnai beit dinhu, kohen gadol shemet, v'lo minu kohen acher tachtav, sh'tei michato krevam mishel tzibur. So here you have it, it's derabanan. So what does Rabbi Abau come to say? I'm Rabbi Abau. Shnei takanot havu. De'oraita, how does it read this? Havu de'oraita. Chekatano havu. De'oraita miditzibor. Okay, mi de'oraita is supposed to be from the tzibor. But what happened? It's fascinating. Kevan de'chazur de'kamidchaka lishka, since they saw that there wasn't enough communal funds. They were stuck for money. They didn't have money. So what they say? Tekinu d'legabe miyorshim. So they said, look, the Kohen Gadol was generally rich. Let's take it from the Kohen Gadol. You can imagine, right? Society, especially in those days, if you remember, the Kohen Gadol were generally wealthy. They bought their way into the Kohen Gadol. Certainly at the end of Bayit Sheni, and there was all this corruption. And they said, what, communal funds are going to pay for this? Our communal funds are very tight. Therefore, they change, and it's fascinating, they were able to change the d'oraita that's supposed to come in Shel Tzibor and put it, because there's no money in the Tzibor, put it on the Yorshim. But then what happened? Kevan d'chazu d'kapashuba, but then they saw that people weren't doing it, and they weren't bringing it. They didn't want to spend the money. They were these Kohanim Gadolim that weren't so great, especially their sons. So therefore, ukma ad'oraita, so then they put it back to d'oraita. You have to wonder how many times this happened, that the Kohen Gadol dies and there was no one in his place yet. You know, how many times Kohen Gadolim died, but, okay.
Wait, are those the two takanot? The back and forth?
So, right, that's what they mean. There were two shlavim to the takana. That's what they mean. Okay, now we're going to see another case like this, and then we'll end with this. Another takana they did was the alpara shelo yehe mo'alim ba'afra. The aether, the ashes of the para aduma, there wouldn't be a din of me'ila. That was one of their takanot. So again, the Gemara asked, d'oraita, but isn't that midoraita that there's no me'ila in the Afer? Why do we know there's no me'ila? Remember, me'ila means misuse of consecrated property. If you accidentally use it, then you have to pay the value of it. You have to pay a chomesh. You have to bring an asha me'ila. Titania, chatati, milame shemo'alim ba, hi, shemo'alim ba, hi, shemo'alim ba, hi, how's the he work? Mo'alim ba, hi, ba mo'alim ba ofra e mo'alim. Okay, in other words, it's by the para itself you're mo'alim, but not by the ashes of it. Okay, so mi de'oraita, the ashes don't have a din of me'ila. So what do you mean? You made this takana that the ashes don't have a din of me'ila. When mi de'oraita, they don't have a din of me'ila. So amar avashi, shtei takanot havai. Okay, again, there were two, it doesn't mean, it means two stages to the takana. De'oraita, ba mo'alim ba ofra e mo'alim. Mi de'oraita, just in the para mo'alim, but there's no me'ila in the efer. Kevan de chazu de kamizalzale ba v'ka'av de minala makatan gazru be me'ila. But what happened? They saw, since you're allowed to use it, this is a good, also an interesting thing. Even though you're allowed to use it, you know, first of all, it was very expensive to get a paraduma, and if they're going to take the ashes, they were using it to cure themselves. They saw they had medicinal value, and they would use it for medicinal purposes. They were like to cure like Neosporin kind of thing, okay? They saw they were using the ashes for that. They said, what kind of craziness is this? So they were gozer that there's going to be me'ila in the Afer, even though there really wasn't midoraita. Then what happened? Kevan dechazu dekaparshe misafe kaza'ot ukme ad'oraita. But then what they say? People were so scared then to use it that because of that, they weren't actually doing, right? They were stopping to do the hazaot, I think, right? What happened?
They really weren't sprinkling.
Right, they weren't sprinkling because they were so scared that they were going to misuse the afer and they thought it was d'oraita. So then they changed it back and they said, okay, we're going to go back. This, by the way, is just, we'll end with this nice idea about the moving with the times and realizing that there's different needs in different times, and you know, both financial and people misusing and all different kinds of things, that they, you know, they were able to make takanot and redo them and change them. Okay.
So just the d'oraita itself is more flexible than we realized, let alone the idea of
right. Well, the question is if it was really there's always a question when you learn it out from a pasuk, chok olam means it has to come from tzibor. I'm not sure it's exactly, d'oraita is used often in the Gemara, not necessarily as it's really a halacha mi d'oraita proper. It's an interpretation of the Torah, and even that there was a machloket about who interprets what. So it was really, how does he view it? But in his worldview, how does he deal with that? And then, you know, and then their answer being that things are fluid and they can change. So, on that note, that's Simchat Torah, and we'll meet up after Simchat Torah.